I'd like to call this meeting of the Taney County Commission Monday, February 11, 2013 to order. And I would like to call on Rick Finley to offer an opening prayer. Mr. Finley?
Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We want to thank you for the blessings that you give us. Thank you for the blessing of life. Dear Lord, we just want to thank you and praise you for your son that you sent to die upon a cross for us. We again thank you for that. And we pray, Lord, that as we go about our business today, that you just help us to obey all the decisions we make and the love that you sent with us, that showed us the love by sending your son, dear Lord. We just pray that you just give us guidance with that. We pray for those that may need a healing hand, dear Lord, and lift them up to you and know that you are the great healer. Lift those that we just again pray for those that may be in harm's way, the soldiers that are away and the families that are home, dear Lord. Just lift them up to you and pray to be with them. We just again pray for wisdom and pray that you just give us guidance in all we do. These things we ask in your name. Amen.
Amen. Commissioner Strahan, if you'll lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Previous meeting minutes of 2012.
Motion for approval with corrections of December 13th and 24th.
Second. Motion's been made and seconded to approve previous meeting minutes dated December 13th and December 24th with corrections and amendments. This will be a vote from those of us who were commissioners in 2012. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries. Previous meeting minutes of 2013.
Move to approve minutes from January 8th and minutes from January 22nd with corrections.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded to approve previous County Commission minutes dated January 8th and January 22nd with corrections. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries. Accounts payable.
Move to approve accounts payable checks number 332420 through 332504. Warrants 5745 through 5748. And there was no transfers.
Second motion.
Motion has been made and seconded to approve checks number 332420 through 332504. Warrants 5745, 46, 47, and 48 with no transfers or journal entries. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries. Thank you. approval of county payroll.
Motion for approval of payroll.
Second.
Motion has been made and second to approve county payroll. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed, nay. Motion carries. Agenda request review.
Good morning.
Good morning, Nikki.
We only have one new request. As you can see, they've requested Thursday.
The request is for this Thursday.
Correct.
We're looking at not meeting this Thursday. Due to conflicts with other officials that are coming in. And we're going to chat about that here. We might as well chat about that right now. What we do have scheduled for Thursday is a meeting with R&B for a presentation regarding existing roads. Mm-hmm. And if it's possible, I'd like to move that to either next Monday or next Thursday of the following week.
It will be Tuesday due to the holiday.
Thank you. Tuesday or Thursday of next week. Is that President's Day? Okay.
And
is that all right, guys?
That's fine with me. While we were on the last week, while we were out in Jeff City, there were several requests from other elected officials. I didn't visit with them long. I just asked them to check with Ron and see when he could schedule it around his schedule. For them to come down and meet with us about different issues. So I want to make that plain, and so I think that we would be in favor, Ron, there are five or six different other commissioners and other legislative people that are coming down, isn't it? Mm-hmm. So
It's going to be just me that's going to be meeting with them, and we're going to confer about different issues within county government, and I'm going to bring it back for discussion with the county commission.
And I agree with not having the meeting on Thursday then. Brandon?
Well, that's fine.
Yeah. Okay.
So we want to put that on?
I wrote it down for Tuesday. That'll be a bid award recommendation regarding the parking garage.
Okay.
That won't take 5 minutes probably, Nikki, I'm guessing. Are we meeting with council this afternoon?
Yes.
We are.
1 o'clock.
So the number one that you have, hopefully that's going to be one of the things that's going to come up today. So we can move that onto agenda for the future?
Yes.
Okay. Anything else, guys?
Nope.
Nick, we're going to have discussions this afternoon, or whenever it's scheduled. Let me look at this very quickly. I guess later this morning.
Late morning.
Just about agendas, procedures, work session, et cetera. We're going to chat a little bit about the agenda itself, chat a little bit about having a work session in the future and appointments of individuals to potentially a finance committee. It's one of the things that I'm going to bring up formally, and then we'll chat about that formally at a commission meeting that is agendized. So we may add a point or two following that session today.
Okay.
Next agendized item is a monthly budget report. Mr. Finley, good morning.
Good morning. How are you today?
Good.
I sent this to you, I think it's probably a week ago. I usually do them right after the first of the month. And just bring it to your attention so you can ask questions if you like to. Didn't see anything in particular that really caught my attention. There were a couple of the departments in GCR that were high, but that's not really unusual this time of year because a lot of times they'll have purchases planned at the first of the year when they do the budget. So do you guys have any questions?
I do. We budgeted for the flood buyout monies to come into general county revenue.
That's correct.
And we budgeted for the expenditures to come out of general county revenue. The question has been posed from P&Z that with the CDBG, we cannot earn any interest. So I'm assuming that as soon as the monies come in, we immediately pay them out? Or do you suspect that we need to set up another account? I would prefer not doing that. It's just
we had a CDBG grant before, and I can't remember. But if we know when the money's coming in, the simplest way would be to, you know, as soon as it comes in,
write
the check out. And that would be the simplest way. But we do have a fund that we used for CDBG before. We could use that fund. It was not budgeted that way, but we could still do that.
The difference in the other fund was for Boys Camp Road, and we paid out before, the county paid out before the checks.
Yeah.
This one is different. This one is only will be paid out. The county doesn't have any payout before.
We had one, Danny, before that, and I may misspeak if I'm not careful. So I think it was PowerSite Water Company or something. Anyway, we did have a separate fund for it, and I think that was even before you got in office. I'm not sure.
I mean, I suppose we could put it into GCR and transfer it to another fund? Would that show as a second expenditure? That's my question. I mean, I don't want to show that we're spending $4 million more than we're actually spending because we put it in twice, but would you think on that?
Ron, it will show us a transfer out of GCR, and then it will show us an expenditure out of that fund. So, I mean, you know,
So if we have our ducks in a row, the money comes in, money goes out, then we're okay.
That's the best.
Otherwise, we have to create yet another fund and not place those monies in GCR.
And like I said, I think there is a fund already created that we could use for that.
Okay. All right.
So, I mean, it's not a problem either way, but the simplest way is the other way.
Okay. It would still, at the end of the year, that way, show that we had the expenditures, show that we had the revenues. It's just that they wouldn't run through GCR.
That's correct.
Okay. All right. Good. Anything else, guys? Thank you, Mr.
Thank
Finley.
You.
Annual financial statement. Good morning, Donna.
Good morning.
How are you today?
Good. Okay, the annual financial statement for 2012. Gentlemen, I have already emailed you this information. The information is provided to my office for the financials from our auditor's office, Rick Finley, from Sheila Wyatt for the delinquent taxes by year, and for the bonding company, we received that information directly from UMB Bank. All of that information has been sent to you by email. It has also been forwarded by to Rick Finley, who has approved it and agrees with all the numbers in the financial statement. I hope you gentlemen have had time to review that document, because I'll need a motion to accept the financial statement and then sign it. I would like to read the statement that is on the financial statement so you know what you're signing. And this is statutory, by the way. We, Ronald D. Hausman, Brandon Williams, and Danny Strahan, duly elected officials of the County Commission of Taney County, Missouri, and I, Donna Neely, County Clerk of that county, certify to the best of our knowledge and belief that the above and foregoing is a complete and correct statement of every item of information required in Section 50.815 for the year ending December 31st, 2012, and that every receipt from every source and every disbursement of every kind and in to whom and for what each disbursement was made was checked by representatives of Taney County, and each receipt and disbursement was accurately included by said representatives in the above and foregoing totals. If you gentlemen agree with that statement and the information I provided you, I'd appreciate a motion.
First, and you're stating this co-jointly with us, to the best of your knowledge and belief, all the information is correct on the statement that's contained here.
That's correct.
I would entertain a motion to accept the 2012 financial statement as presented by Donna Neely.
Move to accept the 2012 financial statement as presented by Donna Neely.
Second.
Motion has been made and seconded to accept the 2012 financial statement as presented by Donna Neely. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries.
Gemma, I need to sign this and then we've got to post in the newspaper. Each name is below.
We sign below the name?
Above. I'm sorry, your name is printed below.
Oh. I have another purple one. You'll have to send it to me.
Well, they can send it while you're here.
Goodbye, Lux.
You'll get us a copy also, Donna. Thank you. Thank you for preparing that. I, for one, know how much fun that form is.
You're welcome.
Financial audit discussion. Mr. Findlay. We can just move forward, you guys. This was added because Rick had brought it to our attention that a financial audit portion of our budget needs to be done. My suggestion is, obviously, if statutorily we're required to provide something other than being provided by the State Auditor's Office, we need to do that. But I can get an answer on that and bring it back.
I think that Rick has discussed this individually with me, and I
Did you upset the Pope this morning?
I think I did. That's what Brandon told me.
I just said you didn't follow his Twitter.
What I just mentioned was you had brought to our attention that a financial audit needs to be done of Taney County. Mm-hmm. And I suggested to the county commission, whatever statutorily is called for that the state auditors are not providing, we need to provide. So statutorily, we are required to provide.
Ron, if you read the statutes, and again, I'm not a lawyer. I've said that to you before. But if I read the statutes, we're not required to, but we have, I think, two different contracts that we've written with bonding companies, and they require that we do a financial. And that's correct, isn't it?
Yes, I emailed both bonding companies to verify the information that Rick has presented to you, that in our original agreement with the bonding company, we did agree to provide a financial statement to them, a financial audit. And it has to be done by either a CPA. What was the other? Do you remember?
Financial audit of what specifically?
That's a good question.
Well, they're going to say a financial audit is what they're going to say. That's
Would you provide a copy of those agreements for us today to give to council?
Yeah, I think I can.
I hope so.
Yes,
but thank you. Thank you very much.
Yes. So, I when I read the statutes, and my opinion is that, no, it's not required by statute, but I think because of the contract we've written, we do have a requirement.
We'll have council review that today. Thank you very much for bringing that to our attention, and we'll follow through with whatever we're supposed to follow through
okay.
with.
That's great. I did contact at least a couple of the people that might be bidding on that, telling them we think we're going to do that, because I know that there will be some of those different companies booking up, and I guess it's just not an easy thing for them to find the time to put it in before we need. I think those, Donna, they had deadlines on the contracts too. Do you remember what they were? I want to say it was May, but I'm not sure.
I can go get that printed off for you.
Well, the council will be here this afternoon, I believe. 1 o'clock.
Anyway, be aware, I think they have those contracts had deadlines on them.
Okay.
The financial report.
We'll go through them.
Thank you
very much. No, we've already got an executive session that's scheduled that we can bring that up under. If you'll get those agreements, we're scheduled to do that. So, University of Missouri Extension update. Good morning, ladies. Thank you.
Good morning.
Crystal, if you would identify yourself for those that are listening.
Okay. Crystal Irons, County Program Director for the University of Missouri Extension Office. I just wanted to give you a quick update on what we've been doing in Extension last month and then some upcoming programs. But first, I'd like to introduce you to our newest staff member. This is Barbara Beck. She is our new Food and Nutrition Program Associate. And she will be doing programming in the schools and in other organizations in Taney County. So I'll let her tell you what she's got going on.
I'm very excited. I'm currently in training. I began January 7th, and it's quite extensive, the training, but I'm really enjoying it. I had my first meeting to set up classes, and I'm scheduled to begin in Branson March 18th with kindergarten and first grade curriculum. And then I'll be scheduling a number of places in some food pantries and probably CAM. And just looking at the site list throughout the county. And just very excited about the new position and some great curriculum to share.
Excellent.
Good.
Welcome.
Thank you.
So we're really excited to have Barbara and get that program up and going. We've been vacant since August of last year, and so there's a huge need for what she does in the schools, especially in other organizations, food pantries and things like that. So we will soon be servicing them and keep her very busy.
So your position is going to be full-time?
Yes.
Excellent.
Full-time. We did present several programs. As we discussed last year, we're utilizing the computer lab. Those classes continued to be very successful. I presented a QuickBooks workshop, and it was full. I used every computer in the lab, so really excited about that. And we have another one scheduled for February. She might have already done it, actually, she did it on the 1st. And so we are moving along on that, and we've got classes scheduled all the way through May at this point. So going really well. So, again, we appreciate your support in that. VITA has started. We are underway taking appointments for the Volunteer Income Tax Assistance Program. We are very busy. Our phone's ringing off the hook. But if anybody would still like an appointment, we still have some available. Just contact our office. We have three sites in Taney County that I have listed, but on Mondays and Tuesdays, we're at the Taney County OCAC in Branson. On Wednesdays, we're at our office at the Extension office here in Forsyth, and then on Thursdays, we're at College of the Ozarks. And again, we do have several workshops coming up in really all areas of programming, so people are welcome to look at our website for information on those workshops as well.
I have a question on that. Do you check, are those for Taney County citizens only, or do they work through Christian County also, or how do you, on your VITA program,
On the VITA program? Uh-huh. Christian County actually has their own center. They have in the Extension office in Christian County, people can go there. Mm-hmm. And then the three sites around, people from outside the county can come, but we're really reaching out to people within the county. Right. And then Stone County has their own site as well.
Right.
Did I answer your question?
Right. I visited with several of the other commissioners at the meetings, and a lot of them have cut a lot of their programming out for mm-hmm. their extension.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess requesting it from the state, I didn't know how many local counties in southwest Missouri was furnishing it, or you were getting any bleed over from the other counties.
Oh, I see what you're saying. I don't believe we have. I know that up in like Greene County, for example, other organizations do the VITA program. I know the colleges do some. Drury used to. So there are other places that provide the Volunteer Income Tax Assistance Program. I don't believe at this point that we've really seen a lot of bleed over. We really have a lot of the repeat, clientele, and they know when the appointments start, and from what I have seen, because I'm actually participating in it this year, a lot of them are just repeat that come every year that live here in Taney County, and so at this point, I don't think we've seen a lot of that. I know that they statewide the funding did shift a little bit, which I think I had shared earlier. So some people we hope to get the IRS grant. And we didn't get it this year, and I know some people in Greene County didn't get it as well, so I don't know how they're prioritizing that funding, but I don't think the programming, funding-wise, has really hurt VITA at this point, has changed our numbers at all. So.
Is there tax funding available for the seniors? Senior tax funding.
You mean are they welcome to come to the VITA program? Is that what you mean?
No.
A huge part of the people that are serviced are seniors, correct? Mm-hmm. And we have a new senior services tax. The question is, I'm curious if any of those funds could be attached for support of this program. They have a board. It's appointed by this commission. They have funds, and in as much that this program is servicing a number of senior citizens, mm-hmm. I just think it would be something at least that the board could consider and take a look at.
Yes.
To replace the funds that you're not receiving.
We have talked about that, actually, because Danny did attend one of our meetings. Okay. And so Nellie Lammers is who, she's the specialist that runs that program. And we have talked about how, you know, she does need to get with them and see if we can't, you know, do some partnering for next season as they try to budget and that sort of thing. Because we will be able to plan that far. Now, this year we didn't get with them, you know, in time. But when Danny did come to our meeting, we did discuss that, and Nellie and I have discussed it outside of our county council meeting, and she will be getting a hold of them probably as soon as things wind down just a little bit for her, and she will get with them and see if we can't work together on that, because that it does go hand in hand, and you're right, we do service a lot of the same citizens, mm-hmm. so that it does make sense, and hopefully we will be able to do that.
I know that a large portion of their budget is contained, how is it titled? Well, in an area that's not designated.
Okay.
And if they have X amount of dollars that are not designated, that gives them the latitude to use it for a plethora of reasons, of which this might be one.
Mm-hmm.
If, in fact, I just think it might be an opportunity still this year.
Okay.
It's worth asking.
Sure, definitely. Well, I'll let her know, and we'll definitely reach out to them if you think it might even still be possible. We'll reach out to them this week and see if we can make something happen, then that would be great. Thank you for mm-hmm. bringing that up.
We discussed that at the last meeting, and I think there was some budget, as everybody was turning in their budgets and everything, I think there was some concern there that it wasn't budgeted, but I think it would be with the extra funding that we had looked at in the senior board's budget, that it would be a great asset to the seniors that we do serve in the county to have that provided, because you didn't get the funding that you were talking about from
the IRS grant. No,
IRS
we did not.
Grant mm-hmm. this year. So next year, and even if we can get it started this year, it would be great for the seniors to be able to come and use the money in extension from the state is drying up, and we're very, very fortunate that we have the extension program that we have. Other counties, I visited with a dozen that only provide $10,000, and they write a check out
yeah.
at the first of the year, and that's what extension gets. And whenever I explained all the programs that you followed through with, and was very that they couldn't believe that we, our county, worked this hard mm-hmm. at extension.
Well, it becomes all too easy when you're going through the budgetary process and you're faced with all the elected officials and you don't have the money to provide them that they want to provide what they feel statutorily they are to provide. So there is a minimum amount within Missouri law for university extension, and I think that's where that
yes,
$10,000 comes from.
Mm-hmm.
But there may be a number of them that are going to be looking at that differently in the future.
Mm-hmm.
I had some of those conversations as well. They were good conversations.
Yeah, I agree with you, and we are you're right. We were very fortunate, and we definitely appreciate your continued support and our very generous budget that we do have and have maintained for several years. And what we will continue to do is make sure that Taney County is definitely covered by good extension programming. And we're able to do that very well in Taney County because of the support we have. So we appreciate that very much.
Well, we appreciate all that you're doing for the people of the county. And Barbara, again, welcome.
Thank you. I am so excited.
I'm very excited to have her.
I feel so fortunate to get in under the wire because I've heard the same as far as the extension program with the budget. So I'll do my best, and I'll share what I'm doing each month, and hopefully opened any suggestions or other places that I could be of service.
Thank you very much.
Excellent. Thank you. Okay.
Thank you.
I just really think that they could couple with a number of the things that they're providing for senior citizens and really heighten the services that we're providing there. Board appointments. We've got a number of different appointments. We still have one in P&Z. I know that we filled a position that was in Big Creek.
What was the other one, Brennan? That you,
the Branson one is still
there. The Branson one is the only one that I knew of. Now, if we filled the others, I believe. We were a long time filling the one in Big Creek. And so we need to work on that Branson one. We had some candidates, but they live within inside the incorporated areas, so
right. But
they were unable to serve. I'm going to make a motion this morning to replace Mr. Houseman as the last member of the sewer board that needs to be filled.
Weren't we asking Commissioner Strahan to?
You were. That's the reason I beat you to the step. That's the reason I beat you to the step was that I knew that you were probably going to do that. And Mr. Houseman, the fact that you were here when the sewer board was formed and the statutes that they were formed under and the full reason for the sewer tax to pass. And the availability of sewer lines throughout the county, that's the reason that I think you would make a great addition. In the past, in the 80s, I do know that there was county commissioners that sat on the board, and they got away from that during the 90s and early 2000s, and I think it's a good idea that, and if I'm not mistaken, and I visited with Mr. Zimmerman about this, at one time I'm not too sure there wasn't two county commissioners that sat on that board. But right now there's one available spot, and I'm making the motion this morning that Mr. Houseman be the last member of the board.
Do we have a willing participant, I guess, is the...
Let me address that. Years ago, Missouri law was drafted in such a way that a county commissioner automatically sat on the board. It was required under the statutes for a commissioner to be a part of that. Missouri law changed, and following that, we had some time where there was not a commissioner on the board, and then the commission decided to place a member back on. We've reached a point currently where there's a lack of communication between the appointed sewer district board and the county commission. And as I had suggested, or I had requested of you probably a month ago at a meeting, would you consider that? And I said if in fact you did not choose to do so at this time, that I would consider it. I feel that we need to have a presence on the sewer board. I feel that we need to reestablish our lines of communications with the sewer board. Again, the sewer board is a creature of the county commission. It was formed at the request of the county commission by the circuit court, and the members upon the sewer board are still to this day appointed by the county commission. It was created years ago to help clean up raw sewage that was running on top of the ground from a number of the septic tanks within the county. And it has been pursued throughout the years, and millions of dollars have been spent. And I truly believe that, from a personal perspective, that we've gotten away from the promise that we made the people years ago that we wouldn't be charging them any more than $17 or $20 a month for the service. And if I'm not mistaken, we're close to 40. So I believe something needs to be done, and I am willing to step up to the task, become a part of the sewer board, at least on a temporary basis, and see if we can't move to some other counties, at least visit some other counties and see what they're doing for revenues. I talked to a number of commissioners at the recent county commissioners training this past week, and not one has a sales tax that I was able to find that would fund capital improvements. Nor did I find commissions that were funding sewer district activities. They're funded through revenue bonds. There's a very limited number of ways that they can raise revenues, but they are, in fact, raising revenues, whether it be through grants, revenue bonds, etc., and providing these services. So, yes, I would, at least for the time being, if you all choose to do so, would serve on that sewer board. Well, that was a longabout way of saying I'd do it, wasn't it?
I'll second the motion.
Motion's been made and seconded for the appointment of Ron Houseman to the Taney County Sewer Board to fill the vacancy that was just created. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. All opposed, nay. Motion carries. I'll have Nikki alert them that I have been appointed to that board and try to bring myself up to speed on some of the issues that they're facing right now. What other boards can we take a look at, guys? That
a lot of what we have is just representation to, you know, and that might go back into our future meeting agenda procedures talk as far as who's going to go to a lot of these just meetings and come back and report and kind of be the liaison between us and the...
Just as she quoted there earlier, I have several that I sit on statutorily, Missouri Extension. I know that Don has the, is it the OCAC or CLIO that's a presiding commissioner?
Both.
Mandatory. So I think that's something we can go through in our procedures as who is going to sit on those particular boards or be present at the meetings. I sit on the boards or make almost every park board meeting. I make other meetings that are required. And Jim also had sat on several of those, Brandon, but some of those you may want to trade or move around, and we'll be willing to work with you on that. But I think that's something we can discuss in our procedures meeting and what we're...
Let's do that, because even the ones that you currently serve on and I currently serve on, we need to make a decision as a new county commission for you to either continue doing that or for us to mix those up somewhat. So let's move into that. Outside of what the commissioners sit on, how about other boards that we have that we make appointments to? Again, we still need somebody on PNZ.
PNZ is
BOA.
BOA is filled.
Filled. BOE.
BOE.
We need two appointments for 2013.
I'm ready to make those appointments if you...
If you've got suggestions, why don't you let us hear what...
Okay, I'm going to make a motion that Randy Casey... and Jeff Jackson. Those are just two of my recommendations. If you all have others... Jeff has served on the board for the last couple of years and does an excellent job.
Have you had discussions with?
With Jeff?
With either of them?
With Randy, yes, and that actually was approached by Mr. Casey about sitting on the boards. And he was one of those that was interested in sitting on PMZ, but he lives within the city limits of Branson.
So you're making a motion, or you want to make a motion to appoint those two men to this 2013 BUE?
Do you have other recommendations?
I don't.
Do you know both these gentlemen, Brandon? Or?
I know Randy. I don't know Jeff that well. You say he's been on there the last couple of years?
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with it. When do we have to make the appointments by?
But BOE's not till
June, July?
Right,
yeah.
I don't have a problem with either one of them. So,
Donna, is there a date that those appointments need to be made? I know as we have in the past, we have had people sit on boards and we, until there's someone else appointed, they go ahead and serve. I don't know whether that's the way that the BOE operates or not.
Well, most of the time, whenever we have something that needs to be corrected, we can bring it directly to the commission until we go into BOE session in July. You do have some processes that you have put into place, and so we just follow those, and that's what has occurred in the past. I do believe there's a statute that says we're supposed to appoint BOE members in January, but I think that some of you may have had a conflict or didn't agree with that statute, and I think it has to do with the fact that we're first-class county, and sometimes those statutes can overlay each other. And, we have the same issue now with the timeline on the tax process. The deadline for setting an appointment to be heard through BOE is in June. However, we don't even receive the tax book until July. So we can't even tell an individual who wants to set an appointment what their tax bill is going to be because we don't receive it until July. So until that statute is cleared up, the commission, or in some cases the BOE, has been amending that deadline to allow us to extend it into July. So that will be something that the BOE will have to meet on to do that, or I guess the commission could actually do that.
I have a reason that I think that we could go ahead and make these appointments, and the reason is that out of respect to those board members, because it's very time-consuming, as you well know, and as we've served on those for years, the month of July is pretty well tied up. If these individuals had some other plans, such as vacation or something planned in that area, it could possibly be moved, or they would maybe not make plans for that particular time. So I'm going to make a motion that we go ahead and fill these positions with Jeff Jackson and Randy Casey.
One second.
Motion's been made and seconded to appoint Randy Casey and Jeff Jackson to 2013 Board of Equalization. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed, nay. Need to let the record show that it's contingent upon them accepting those appointments. Because, as you stated, that's going to be very, very time-consuming, especially during a year of reassessment. Natural Hazard Mitigation Resolution.
Good morning.
How are you, Chris?
Good, great. Thank you.
The reason it wasn't, accepted or approved last week was I was wanting to read it, so I took the time and read it, and thank you guys for being patient with me. Let me get caught up. But I think there's a lot of good things in there, so... Do we need a
Motion to accept.
Is it an acceptance or is it an approval? What exactly is it?
They call it an adoption.
Adoption? Okay. Move to adopt the resolution of intent to participate in natural hazard mitigation and to work toward becoming a safer community. Is there a resolution number? Is that it?
We'll add that.
Okay.
There was last week, but that's all right. I'll second the motion.
Motion has been made and seconded to adopt a resolution of intent to participate in natural hazard mitigation and to work toward becoming a safer community. And we read this resolution at our last meeting. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries. Thank you all again for your hard work.
You're very welcome. We're glad it's done. And on a little bit different note, we have a little...
Thing.
Huh?
It goes towards hazard mitigation. It's the first exercise project since adopting it, I guess.
I guess. that is true. We have a little exercise coming up that is three counties in regards to cattle, foot and mouth disease. And I just wanted to give each of you a flyer. If you could participate, it would be great. But even more so, maybe if you know somebody that would be interested in this kind of thing. So I can just drop that off.
See, I thought you said put your foot in your mouth. I was going to say we fit right in there.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Josiah.
Okay.
I just signed
both. Sign both, yeah. Chris was speaking to you as a foot and mouth disease response exercise can be Friday, March 8, 2013, 10 o'clock to 1 o'clock. Registration is at 9:30. It'll be at the Ozark Community Center, 1530 West Jackson, Ozark, Missouri. And we are to RSVP by February 28th. Points out that we'll allow our non-traditional and traditional stakeholders from three counties an opportunity to meet and discuss how we can coordinate local resources as well as work across county lines in response to an animal disease outbreak. And then it says, lunch will be provided. National Forest Distribution. Donna.
Gentlemen, we have done some extensive work on the national forest boundaries within Taney County, and I would like to thank Patsy Alexander, Melissa Trotter, and Tim Houchins for working with me on this process. Patsy contacted the National Forest to confirm the number of properties that we have in Taney County that this money applies to, and she worked with Melissa Trotter and with Tim Houchins to update the GIS database and the assessor's database. So we now have good numbers for you, so I will ask you to rescind your previous motion to approve the National Forest distribution and to approve the new numbers that I have for you.
I thought we approved the new numbers that you had for us when it was in front of us before.
You did, Ron, and within about 2 hours, I received an email saying that they had missed some properties. And
Go ahead.
And so we then decided to, since we had to amend it anyway, we decided to go ahead and we found some errors in the database. I believe it was Melissa, when she pulled it, some of the properties were not coded properly. And so we decided, since we had to redo this, we would contact the National Forestry Department and confirm with them that the properties that Taney County has marked as National Forest properties, that they agree those are the properties. So we've done some extensive work and now have the accurate numbers.
Let me ask you a question. There was a discussion, I don't know whether it was with me and you, or what, about 8 acres or something. Is that what you're talking about in part of this?
What we did is I had our Patsy had Melissa pull the data from the assessor's tax documents, and they didn't agree with Patsy's GIS data. So we started looking for the inconsistencies between the two databases, and since we were unsure which was correct, Patsy contacted the National Forest to confirm what properties were in the National Forest within Taney County. So we received that data, and both databases have been updated. It was a minor change. It still only changes it by point something in the percentage, but it's still now completely up to date.
So are you asking for a motion to rescind our motion of forestry funding? Now that we don't have the correct terminology of the other motion, but
that's what we're.
Do you want, Brandon? What you say?
That's what I'm trying to.
Donna, was that motion made last Monday?
I think so.
So the fourth, accepting the forest, National Forest distribution.
Would move to reconsider the previous motion regarding the 2000, was it 13 or 12?
13.
2013 National Forest distribution on February 4th, 2013.
I'll second the motion to reconsider.
Motion's been made and seconded to reconsider the previous motion regarding 2013 National Forest distribution on February 4th, 2013. Discussion?
Does it need to be noted that it's just due to new information brought to us by
County Clerk? I think it does.
Let the record show that the motion was made upon recommendation of the County Clerk. I concur. All in favor of the motion say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries.
Do we have the new numbers?
Yes.
Did you email those by chance? Last one I got was Monday 2-4 at 9 o'clock.
No, I emailed.
Okay. This up.
66172. Well, actually, you don't have a total on this, but you can see it's very, very close. 52 still. It's 52.
It's a minuscule difference,
yeah,
but we know now that it's correct.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Move to accept the new 2013 National Forest distribution dated February 11th, 2013.
I'll second the motion.
Motion's been made and seconded to approve 2013 National Forest distribution dated February 11th as presented by the County Clerk. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. Opposed, nay. Motion carries. Does it need my signature?
Thank you. Thank you, John.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank Patsy for finding that.
She was also, and so was Melissa. And Tim Houchins also worked with us to check this data as well. So,
yeah. Thank you, Donna. Public hearing for code amendments? How'd you get that snuck in here?
These are proposed nightly rental amendments. I've got copies here. These were proposed by the Planning Commission on December 3rd of 2012. And they're basically proposed amendments to the nightly rental regulations. And also we have a proposed amendment. They have requested to amend the zoning map, our two zoning districts, based on the amendments to the commission districts, Eastern and Western.
I wasn't certain how the commission wished to proceed on this. If we want to go through each of these
items. What I'd like you to do is to recommend what your proposed change is. This is something that's been approved by B&Z, correct?
Yes. Yes. They.
What is it that they have approved that changes the code?
Okay. If I could, I might start with Appendix Q first.
Where do I find Appendix Q?
Okay, and it's on a separate sheet there.
Your zoning.
Yeah. And
okay,
all that is as the commission's aware of. This last year, the commission amended the boundaries of the Eastern and Western districts were amended. And per the provisions of the Development Guidance Code, it also calls for an Eastern and Western zoning district. And what the staff has found is that historically, that Eastern and Western district, the boundaries of those two zoning districts, have traditionally corresponded with the commission districts. As far and since those boundaries were amended. The Planning Commission's recommending basically that we add the new map to Appendix Q as the new zoning map. It's not a substantial amendment, but it just essentially adopts the new commission district map as the new zoning map.
I have no problem with that. I see that we have this posted under public hearing. Is this the public hearing, or do we need notification of a public hearing?
Oh, no. Notification has been given. We have to advertise it at least 15 days prior to the hearing.
Well, let me start over then, and I apologize.
Okay.
The County Commission will stand in public hearing mode based upon the notices that have been posted and or ran through P&Z. Regarding code amendments. So the difference would be rather than us rushing to a vote would be to open this to any member of the public that would like to address this. And the first change that you are presenting us with is Appendix Q, which is really the zoning districts, if you will, and what the Planning and Zoning Board has done is to redraw those lines so that they coincide with the lines that have been drawn for Commission District 1 and Commission District 2.
Exactly.
Is there any member of the public that would like to speak to the map change, which we will label, and it is labeled as Appendix Q? Hearing none. Comments from the Commission? The chair would entertain a motion to approve Appendix Q as recommended by Planning and Zoning Commission.
So moved.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded to approve Appendix Q as recommended by the Planning and Zoning Commission. Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed nay. Motion carries. Go ahead, Bob.
Okay. And the next section, the next item is the nightly rental regulations. And you'll find I've given you a handout, provided the commission with a handout. Essentially, page one is the current regulations as found in the code book at this time, where the Development Guidance Code looks upon basically any building or structure that's being rented for a period of time less than 30 days as being a nightly rental. The preceding pages, page 2 through 5, basically enumerate additional provisions that the Planning Commission wished to see. We've had a number of issues that have arisen out of nightly rental, predominantly in areas with larger homes where properties have been rented out to as many as 30 or 40 persons at a time. And so the Planning Commission wished to, they basically requested that the staff propose additional regulations to further regulate these activities as far as the numbers of persons, you know, the occupancy, the parking, solid waste disposal, and a number of different things. A number of these items had been placed as conditions on special use permits, but the Planning Commission wanted these items to actually be enumerated in the regulations where it's spelled out.
Explain that again, Bob. They had been what?
Well, a nightly rental proposal requires a special use permit, and many of these items had previously been enumerated as conditions on individual special use permits.
Okay.
But the Planning Commission was really wanting to enumerate these things specifically in the code book. That way, when we have an applicant that's wishing to seek nightly rental approval, they know exactly what they can and can't do, basically. There's really nothing here that would restrict a person from proposing a nightly rental of a home, for instance, but it would limit such things as occupancy, and it'll ensure that they have adequate parking and things of that nature. The Planning Commission actually went through this item by item, but I didn't know, you know, what approach we wanted to take today.
I see you only have one highlighted area in on page 2. The rest of them are not highlighted, so I didn't know. And you've explained that those have been changed by the numbers at the front.
And I do apologize. Let me explain that as well. On the front page, the only item, and really this is all pretty much the majority of this was proposed as an amendment or as a change. But there was so much that was changed, we actually didn't highlight everything, but pretty much the bulk of what's shown here actually is a proposed change or a proposed addition, basically, you know, to the language.
Can you help me with the definition under occupancy? And tell me, okay, this does not include hotel, motel, or bed and breakfast establishments.
Exactly.
It answers my question already. I was wondering how you could limit a nightly rental to two persons. And
exactly.
And but it's not a hotel. Okay.
Exactly. Because really the hotels, motels, and bed and breakfasts would fall under a different set of provisions. And so the Planning Commission was really just looking specifically at the nightly rental of maybe of what we see quite a bit is actually residences, the nightly rental of individual residences. But we also see the nightly rental of condominiums, for example, where they may be a timeshare project. They may just be a condominium unit that they rent by the night or rent by, on a weekly basis. Many of these things are actually being rented by the individual homeowner or individual property owner. And they're, in many cases, being rented online or advertised online.
This has been approved and adopted by Planning and Zoning Commission.
Yes.
And what type of participation did you have on this from the public?
We really didn't have a great deal of public participation. Honestly, we held a series of advertised public hearings on this, but we honestly did not have a great deal of participation.
Well, I'm looking at what currently exists, which is your front page. You have five subpoints, but P&Z is asking for 21.
It has been greatly expanded. It really has. The primary intent is really just to further enumerate the parameters for nightly rental. Like I said, we've had a number of issues in the last year or so with some nightly rental properties, and it's predominantly, in fact, we've received a number of complaints about different nightly rental properties where, like I said, we've literally had instances where homes have been rented to 30 or 40 persons at a time. Where instead of just renting to a family, they may be renting to a fraternity, renting to a corporation, holding weddings, and it becomes a somewhat of a nuisance issue for many of the adjoining property owners. And I think that was really the intent. In fact, we're looking at code amendments for 2013 beginning tonight. The Planning Commission is actually holding a hearing tonight and the next Tuesday. But the Planning Commission members themselves felt so strongly about this that they actually requested that the planning staff schedule a special meeting. And so we actually scheduled a special meeting for December just specifically to discuss nightly rental amendments.
On your existing, it says on 4.7.5, the Taney County Planning Commission may, at their discretion, impose additional conditions or stipulations that it deems necessary.
Yes.
Could you not take care of the few instances of problems you have with that one alone?
Realistically, that's the way we've been looking at it and approaching it the last few years. But it was really the commission itself that approached the staff, and they wanted a lot more enumerated in the code book itself.
And I think that stems from protection for P&Z, protection for the county, to keep us further away from any liability? There's,
I think one of the, just as an example, previously there was a concern on their part about further limiting the occupancy, even though it really gives them that ability, but they didn't know what to base those limits on. They wanted, I think, something that spelled out specifically how, what they could limit the occupancy to, and how to limit the occupancy. Another really specific thing is, like, on the parking, for instance, the parking currently refers you to high density residential, and they had a number of concerns that parking standard wasn't providing adequate parking spaces, basically. What we see in a number of instances is whenever we've got the nightly rental over property, they may also be bringing in boats and campers and things of that nature. And in some of these cases, we were having a lot of concerns that were arising out of that, with people parking on the street and basically not having enough on-site parking.
Is there that many nightly rentals that don't already, I mean, I guess, is it, what's the issue? Where's the issue coming from? People that have a house that they're trying to rent out, and they just rent out for a week at a time and or a month at a time, but under these stipulations, if they live there for a month, then it negates this, correct?
Exactly, yeah. If you're exactly correct, if they're renting it out month to month, then it really doesn't fall under the nightly rental provisions. I would say over the past year or so, we were receiving nightly rental complaints pretty much every month about, and it seemed like the biggest issue really was occupancy, where, like I said, I can bring up several instances where they were renting to 30 or 40 people at a time. And so it really wasn't an instance where they were renting to a family, for example. Like I said, they were renting to pretty large groups. And it wasn't one neighboring property owner that was complaining. In each instance, it was basically an entire subdivision that was coming to us and filing complaints. You know, saying that they just were not happy with the situation. And like I said, this actually was an instance where really the Planning Commission directed the staff to write amendments to the code book based on that. One item I didn't bring up as well, the majority of these regulations were obtained from other areas. We looked at some counties in Colorado that are tourism-based counties. We looked at a number of counties in Florida, and so a number of these regulations really came from other counties that have a strong tourism base and that do see a lot of nightly rental. There's really nothing in here that prohibits nightly rental in any area, but it does establish a great deal more parameters than what we currently have.
How long, I mean, you mentioned 30 to 40 people in a single dwelling. How long do they usually stay for?
It varies quite a bit. I would say on average 3 or 4 days at a time.
Is it the same? Do those people just move to another place, or do they actually leave town and come back?
What we're seeing is predominantly people on vacation. But like I said, in these couple of instances, it was also running to, and I think that's what's really alienated the neighbors, was essentially in a couple of instances, these were becoming a party house where they would be rented to one fraternity for this weekend and another fraternity for the following weekend, and then a wedding event would be held at the home the next weekend. Some of these homes have been very large as well. I mean, the largest home we've had was actually 13,000 square feet. And so it's almost being utilized more like a hotel. It's really one family in most instances would have a difficult time being able to afford the rental rate, even, to be really frank with you. And so many of these things are rented out to groups, even, in some cases. Now, we also have the other extreme where we've had a number of smaller homes that are just rented out to an individual family. But what we see for the most part is the majority of these folks are folks that are on vacation in the area. Just to give you an example, I mean, the majority of these are advertised online, and you can go into most of these vacation websites, and most of these are booked through like the end of this year, and so most of them are booking basically throughout the year, about a year in advance or so.
I'm Sherry Veltkamp with Haven House Realty, and I see realty situations. But one of the things I'm sitting here thinking as I'm listening to this, are there exceptions in this for 501c3 organizations? I'm thinking of places like Prayer Mountain, maybe the there's a place out by Hollister. Some of those, are there exceptions for things like that, or are they going to be under these same regulations?
Really, this would just look at situations where there was a fee being charged for the nightly rental of a residence.
Prayer Mountain has a fee.
Now, I know they came through our process, but I don't think they came through as a nightly rental. I don't believe. It was prior to me coming on board here. And I'll give you another example. I mean, just off the top of my head would be we have some groups such as Church Army that they would have people staying there, but they really wouldn't be renting, you know, the residence to these folks. I mean, they...
I'm thinking, where are these retreats and stuff when they have conferences and things like that? Where's all this going to land with these regulations?
Well, let's say you got, you know, 30 kids, so you got two or three passenger vans, but you got 30 kids staying at a whatever for the weekend to go to Young Christians Weekend at local park. How does that, and they pay for their three nights or whatever it is. I would caution making too many regulations to handle, you say several problems. I don't know. I don't know what the problems are. I don't have any specifics in front of me that show me, hey, this is where we're having issues, this is where we're not. And I understand the liability issue, but I always caution, err on the side of not taking away people's land rights as opposed to you're going to do this, 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 and this.
And I don't disagree. I really don't. The one thing I will say is of course, we're requiring a special use permit currently for nightly rental. So this isn't something, and we have been since 2009. But like I said, this really enumerates in much more detail what the requirements are for nightly rental, basically. And really, there's nothing in here that would essentially anybody in the county, wherever they're located, with our current form of zoning, could really propose any use. You know, from a nightly rental, basically to anything, to any proposed use. It just requires the approval of the Planning Commission, essentially.
What was the word that you used earlier? Was it stipulations or?
Well,
considerations, was that it?
I really feel like it establishes certain parameters as far as.
But my point is, were those parameters already established through some other method or mode rather than being directly placed into the development code?
They do have the ability really to place any condition on any permit. And so the Planning Commission, and that's the case really with any permit they issue, whether it's a nightly rental permit or a permit approving a racetrack, they can put any number of conditions or stipulations on it.
Where I'm headed is 4.7.5 to me is incredibly liberal, and what you've done, if you want to look at it from the other perspective, is limit that by placing everything in writing. Because over here it says you may at their discretion impose additional conditions or stipulations that it deems necessary, which means you can do anything.
Yeah.
And this specifically points out what you can do.
Now, I will point out one thing on the safety there, and I'll tell you the reasoning for this, too. We put in the where applicable just because what isn't, there are a great number of differences between what's allowed, for example, within the Western Taney County Fire Protection District and some of the more rural fire protection districts. Some of the more rural fire protection districts don't do any type of inspections. And so really, I mean, what the Planning Commission had really brought up was that they just wanted to ensure that we notified that fire district, basically.
As a citizen, I just feel that this should probably go back to the drawing board for a little more consideration of things like religious conferences, like he's saying, groups of students who might come in, things like that, because I can see this really developing into a very limiting.
I think the only time that you would see something like that fall under nightly rental, we're just looking at something being utilized for nightly rental, for example, and sometimes I do best with examples. If that was the primary use for that structure, was like a house, if throughout the year, basically they're using it as a rental property that they rent out either by the night or by the week. If there happens to be a church retreat in a church structure, we look at the primary use of that structure as being a church, for example. Or if we have a group of kids that happen to stay at a house over the weekend, I mean, that's not in any way regulated. Really, this is looking specifically at...
Do you have regulations written to that effect, that those would be considered a separate entity from this?
I mean, we basically have things that spell out... Well, first off, by our code book, we really don't regulate any use that doesn't involve a fee. And I'll throw some other examples at you. Shooting ranges, for example. We've got a great deal of interest currently in shooting ranges. If a person has a private shooting range on their property, we don't look at that as being a change of use. If a person proposes a shooting range where they're charging a fee to come in and utilize the range, then we look upon that as a commercial shooting range, for example. And I just bring that one up because that's one we're seeing pretty frequently right now. I mean, it's one...
Well, I think there's a big difference between a shooting range and something where somebody's going to come in, stay a weekend, and leave. And I'm thinking, you know, okay, so what if we've got a religious camp? Or just a Boy Scout camp? Where's that going to fall? Are there regulations to cover those types of things? That's why I'm saying if you don't have those, then go back to the drawing board and include those before you approve something of this nature. I just think this is a firestorm.
Well, and the one thing I'll say, again, is we already really have these nightly rental regulations as a part of the code book right now. They've been in place since 2009. Normally what we would see, like with something like Canicuk, basically when they came through and sought approval, it would be approved as a camp, as a children's camp, because when they come through and seek approval, they're seeking approval for that specific use or that specific list of uses. And so we would normally just look upon that as you know, a children's camp or a religious camp.
So should be something be added to definitions that would state that there might be separate regulations for something like that, a 501c3 or for camps? Should there be something added to that? Because I can just see how this is a setup for abusing of the system. And I can see a firestorm coming in on that, where I sometimes hear both sides of the story out there. If I am a realtor and I have someone who, for instance, wants to come in and buy a big piece of land and put in something like this, then I have to go back to them and say, well, you better check the nightly rental P&Z requirements on this situation. That may limit what their original intent was for that property or how much money they might have had to spend to be able to do this project.
And I understand, but like I said, even currently, for example, if you had a property owner that had a house, if they're renting it for a period of time less than 30 days, by the code book, they're required to seek a special use permit. And under the new provisions, they would still be required to seek a special use permit, but a number of the provisions are enumerated in more detail, basically, I would say, is the primary difference. But
one of the reasons that people come here to buy property within the county is there's not as much regulation there as there is in a city. And I just hear us heading in that direction, and I see some problems with that. So that's all I'm going to say.
How many people did you have that showed up for the public hearings that P&Z conducted?
I think it was just a couple, to be honest with you. I couldn't remember if that was the one that you were at or not. I knew there was...
I came in one night.
Okay. Yeah, I think we had a couple that came in, and that was really...
Well, my assumption is the people that have been involved in this, who've been vocal about it, knew of the public hearings.
Yes.
Were they there?
They
weren't. They weren't there.
I'd be speculating, but my feel is that a lot of the folks folks are more vocal if there is a lot of opposition versus if someone's satisfied with something.
Well, Bob, I apologize. I have not read this till today, and I've been doing my best to try to read it and listen at the same time, but I'd sure like a little more time to read through this.
I understand.
And perhaps I'll have some questions for you that I don't have right now. But I need a little more time than today. So if it's agreeable with these commissioners, I'd like to ask to have this reposted at another time where the commission can consider it. Is there any member of the public that is here for the public hearing that's been advertised and would also like to offer any comments?
I just have a question. Were letters sent out to the entities that this might involve? Did they know of this hearing?
Basically, we're just required to post it in the local newspapers. Normally what I do is I also normally take it a step further. I do normally also send it to the local reporters so that they've written quite a few stories on nightly rental over the past several months. And so I normally do try just so if we do have somebody that doesn't read the legal ads, hopefully they can go to the paper and see an article in it.
Ron, are you asking for a 2-week?
Well, I'd just like time to...
When did you say you had a meeting tomorrow night?
Yeah, there'll be a meeting tonight.
But that won't involve this.
But it won't necessarily involve this.
I'm trying to get the scheduling on when the meetings are so that if there is...
Yeah, and then they'll meet again next Tuesday. And really, these meetings this month will be reserved for a review of the permits that were issued last year. And then by the code book, they're also supposed to be set aside for potential new amendments. I don't know at this point if the Planning Commission has additional amendments that they, or the public, or if the public has additional amendments that they wish to propose.
Well, if I could, I'd like to suggest that we would just repost this give me, or you all, if you're ready to do something today, that's...
No, I'm not.
I would just like some time, Bob, whether it's next week or the following, and to come back at it as soon as possible. But I just need to read it some more and field some questions myself. Perhaps just us meeting today will prompt some questions to us. Number one, I appreciate planning and zoning, and I appreciate what that board is doing, because I know as they're working through the code, there are a number of things that they will be changing, amending, and or deleting. That's a long process, and we're going to be seeing more and more of you, I think.
Well, and I'll be really frank with you on this as well. The staff had actually recommended to the Planning Commission that we look at these amendments in February, but they felt so strongly about it that they wanted a special meeting set for December, and so they really have, this group really has some pretty strong feelings on nightly rental.
I see that the last public hearing was on December 3rd?
Yes.
Okay. Is that all right? We'll bring it back up on agenda request review through Nikki and staff for you, though, Bob.
I'd like to give one example, and I'm not picking on any individual organization or anything, but there's been complaints about two or three organizations as far as the amount of traffic, their parking, they're taking up road right away, things like that, and then a family reunion that got together where they were staying with other people brought in, and there was complaints from this organization about the fact that they had to tolerate this other business constantly, and they couldn't even have a family get together. That in itself are things that bother me, how we have things set up and regulate one group and let the other group basically get by with whatever they can just through a few restriction language.
Bob, is there anything else?
I think that's it at this point.
Now, we did adopt Appendix Q.
Okay.
We did vote on that, didn't we? Yes.
Yeah. And it does require adoption via County Commission order, and I've drafted an order, but I need to amend my order. I just need to amend the language just to reflect that we're just adopting specifically Appendix Q. Do I need to present?
I can sign an order for you on something that we've already approved, if that's what you're after.
Okay.
What he's talking about is presenting an order from us that we've adopted Appendix
Q. Just Q and not the...
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Wellness Center? You look like you need a little wellness. I'm just...
Was anybody going to come down for that? I don't know, Nikki. I just saw Scott looking. Is he on that board?
I do know that today is their chili luncheon. Is that 11? 11 to 1 or something like that?
Yes. It's just a wellness center update. I don't know whether...
No, I actually asked for that. There were some questions about part-time employees not being able to use the wellness center. And I just didn't know if we could get that changed.
So if somebody's working a four-day work week, they're not able to utilize it?
Not able to utilize them.
I have no problem.
Right. It all fell under the initial plan of insurance qualification.
Was there a recommendation from the Wellness Committee? Or?
No, I don't have a clue. That was my own.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, Brennan. And we visited about this whenever the committee was formed, and I think there has been there was a lot of discussion about it, but this actually, the decisions were made upon the availability of insurance.
When you say availability of health insurance or availability of some sort of liability insurance?
Health insurance.
So because they don't qualify for health insurance or benefits, they chose not to allow them to use the loans? I mean, is that what their thought was? I mean, I'm trying to learn what
there was a lot of discussion about it. I won't go into it because I don't have all the, but I mean, there was a lot of discussion about it and brought to the commission when we set this all up. So I'm not sure exactly. I do know that it had to do with the insurance, who was qualified and who wasn't.
I mean, just it would make sense to me, unless I'm told. I mean, again, I wasn't there for all those. It would make sense that if we have an employee that's working 25 hours, or what's full-time, less than 32 hours, that they could utilize. But
how about we seek a recommendation from the Wellness Committee?
That's perfect for me.
Is that all right, Dan?
Yeah.
Next order is future meeting agendas and procedures work session. All this is to give us an opportunity to talk about how we want our agendas to look, procedures. One of the things that I will be suggesting, and it says that we're scheduled to take that upstairs and sit around the table in the conference room informally, but the public is certainly welcome to attend that. For example, this morning, this last issue that we just looked at, to me, it would be advisable if we schedule a work session ahead of time before we are asked to vote on or adopt or accept any business formally on behalf of the county. So that Thursdays, for example, we sit reading through all the minutes that we have so that we don't spend all of our time when we get here trying to rush through that, so that we can go through our accounts payable and payroll in a timely fashion and question each bill that's before the county, and certainly so that we can read through something as complex as what we were just presented with in these code changes, just to read to make sure that we're there to get ready so that when we have the formal meeting, we'll schedule it with the knowledge that we've read through it, we have our questions ahead of time, etc. A number of counties do that. I know the cities have work sessions that they have prior to meetings just so that they can get ready for their formal meeting. I think it would cause our meetings to flow better and, as I keep saying, hopefully make it more professional. But that's part of the discussion that I want to have when we move upstairs.
You saying we're not real professional?
I said more.
more professional.
So if we could stand in recess until we get upstairs to start that process. When we get up there, however, we may break for the early chili.
I was going to say, no, wait a minute.
So let's stand in recess.
Okay.
At the top of this